Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. It's almost Christmas. We're just a few days away. I hope you're enjoying the holiday season. This week, we're joined by special guest Shelley Frew. She's one of our guest authors on the Engage God Daily. And we talk about Christmas traditions and how Christmas changes with each season of your family's life. But we can always take time to focus on Jesus. We'll talk about the Magi. What are they? Where did they come from? And what were the gifts that they brought? And then we'll talk about Jesus and how each of us are trying to get closer to him during this season. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And once again, since it is Advent season, we have a special guest.
Yay!
Shelley Frew is here.
Welcome, Shelley.
Yes, we're glad you're here. Shelley was one of our guest authors for the Engage God Daily for Advent season. So I invited her to share some of her perspective on Christmas. Shelley's also a mom with four grown kids now, but lived through the chaos because your kids are all really close together, right?
They are. My youngest is 27 and my oldest is 32.
Okay. So
we had four kids in there, like Bruce's family. So
we can relate.
Just kind of go with it.
Yeah. So we've been talking in our Advent series about, first of all, sort of navigating Christmas in a way that makes it meaningful for your family, have lots of good times together, but also keeps you focused on Jesus. So, Shelley, I wanted to ask you, we've had a couple of different moms on the podcast as guests, our guest authors, and Victoria has littles, so she's still in the toddler phase, and then Amanda had slightly older elementary, early middle school kids, and now you've got grown kids who are spread out across the country.
Yes.
So how are the holidays for you now?
It's a bit challenging because now we've got not just grown kids, but they all have significant others. Mm-hmm. So they are dividing holidays.
Yeah.
So my youngest one's married. My daughter's engaged and going to be married this next spring. And then the other two aren't engaged yet, but they've already started the one holiday with one family, one holiday with the other family. So we're just kind of trying to navigate that well because it involves another family.
Right.
It's not just our family. So this Christmas, we happen to fall on all the kids are going to be with us at Christmas.
That's a Christmas miracle right there.
It is a Christmas miracle because I don't know how that happened. That's not been the case. It's usually two and two, or we're just grateful for it.
Yes.
So everybody is coming from their different state and we're going to share Christmas together this year.
That's great. So as you look back on all the years that you've had with your kids, what's like your favorite thing about Christmas?
My favorite thing about Christmas is being present together. Mm-hmm. I think just practicing the gift of presence with my kids, with my husband, and just slowing down to take time to play the games, to do the puzzles, to watch the Christmas movie. Instead of what I used to do when my kids were little, is I felt a lot of pressure to get everything in and try to do everything. So over the years, I've come to appreciate just being present together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds kind of simple, but I've not come by it easily. I mean, I do it imperfectly.
Yeah.
practicing presence, but that's something that's important to relationships, nurturing relationships, and as it is in our spiritual life too, nurturing our relationship with the Lord. I would have to say
just being together
and practicing presence
and being present, not being distracted, not having your mind elsewhere, and not focused on all the to-do lists,
right,
and all the things. And I think that's been a common theme, Bruce. You probably agree with everyone we've talked to through this, that's really something that we are all striving to do, is like sort of set aside some of the busyness and some of the hurry and some of the stuff that seems really important in the moment, but
when you look back across time, you go, what's really I remember are those board games and, you know, sitting around drinking hot cocoa around the fireplace and some of those like moments of being together.
Yeah, the older I've gotten, the more it's just being together, just being with my kids, with grandkids, the in-laws of whatever kind, like where are now have mm-hmm. folks married and there's different families involved. But just being together, that we don't have to do anything special or
right.
put on some special activity or you have the pressure to go do something, be active. It's just being together. And like you said, the challenge of being present and not multitasking or try to have be accomplishing something else in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. For me, too, that's more where my mind is and where my heart is just being with my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's like you, it like you said, it took you a while to arrive at that because that's, it's a simple thing, but it's surprisingly not the first thing we think of a lot of times.
And I would say, you know, it depends on your personality, but with both of us having bigger families, there's times when it's, I've been with everybody all together, like in the big room and it's getting kind of loud and we are playing and talking that I need to take a break.
Yeah.
And I just need to exit and take a breath. And go be by myself for a few minutes and then re-enter the fray. At this stage for me, little breaks help me come back and re-engage the whole big group.
Yeah. And anytime you can kind of get with one person on the porch or in the other room, maybe, you know, we kind of tend to spread out across the house. That's great too. I love those little kind of moments with just one person. Those kind of conversations are really great. And so I think you don't have to have a big family. You don't have to be someone who has a lot of people around. You can be, because I know you've probably had Christmases that have been a lot smaller and you too as well, Bruce, where not everyone can come. And so maybe it's a smaller group and there can still be real blessing in that too, because it gives you more focused attention. So for anyone out there who's like, well, but I don't have a big family or I don't have kids or, you know, I would just say, encourage you to find some time to have a meaningful conversation with someone. So we're less than a week away from Christmas, official Christmas. We feel like we've been talking about Advent for weeks now, but
is it already here?
It's already here.
Okay,
yes. I know. I can't believe it. I really could.
I've got some shopping left to do.
You and my husband both. Yeah, I would really be fine if we just put off Christmas for a couple more weeks just so I could get ready. But it's okay. It's coming. So what's one thing that you love, maybe a tradition that you have or something that you really look forward to on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? What about you, Bruce?
Well, it's usually a long day for me with all the Christmas Eve services, which I love. And then these days I come home and it's just me and Tamara and Calvin, of course, our lab.
Is he still enjoying his Advent treats?
Calvin is enjoying his Advent treats. He's still enjoying these. He wants them to go on past Advent.
Yeah, he's like, why can't we make them through Easter?
Oh, yeah. But Tamara and I, at the end of the day, when we're home after the last service and we're home alone, we turn off the lights, sit on the couch by the Christmas tree, and I read the story in Luke 2. Mm-hmm. And we just take a moment to hold hands and thank God for Jesus. It might be 5-10 minutes long, mm-hmm. but it's just a sweet moment for me at the end of Christmas Eve, just a private moment with me and Tamara.
That's great. I love that. What about you, Shelley?
Well, one thing we do as a family, which now that there's more people involved, involves more preparation, but we've always made cinnamon rolls Christmas morning. And so I've made the cinnamon rolls, let's be honest here. Now I do have a daughter and other girlfriends and daughter-in-laws who will chip in and help. But that's kind of something that's always the same, even though our schedule may change based on what day Christmas comes on, if it's church, if it's not, if we're out of town, if we're in town, even out of town, we make cinnamon rolls on Christmas Day. So that's kind of a fun thing mm-hmm. that everybody can, well, when they were little, they helped in their own way.
Yes.
And then as they got older, I started teaching the ones that wanted to learn. And so it's just kind of always been there.
Yeah. Something they look forward to. And
yeah. And that they, I mean, we kind of stopped and started lots of different age appropriate traditions as they grew up. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the one
that stuck. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You know, my kids are still kind of at home. in college, so they are still kind of under our roof. And so I always, ever since they were born, I bought them an ornament, each kid an ornament every year. And so they always get to open them on Christmas Eve. And I always give them pajamas. Like when they were little, I would give them Christmas pajamas, you know, because then you could get the cute photo on Christmas Day when they're pajamas. But they just now know they're getting pajamas. And so it's sort of just expected that on Christmas Eve, they'll get their pajamas and their ornament. And so
and are these already bought or do you have more shopping to do?
No. Well, thank you. Online shopping, the ornaments and the pajamas have come. Well, I still have one. Okay. Sam is picky, my son. So okay. I still have to buy him some because he's a teenage boy. He's like, he doesn't really want pajamas. So I might just get him a t-shirt and shorts or something. I don't know. But I will not be getting him reindeer pajamas or anything like that. That's he won't why. Go with that. But anyway, but it's fun. And like you said, Shelley, it may change. You know, this may be the last couple of years we do that as they are getting older and things are changing. Shelley and I had a long conversation yesterday about the kind of the season of life that I'm in with my daughter graduating from college on Saturday. And then my middle daughter moving to go to college in January. And it's a lot as a mom, the empty nest. And, you know, Sam's a junior. And so I know these changes are coming and they're good. That's what you want. You want them to launch well. You want them to be out in the world and on their own. But man, is it tough to let them go. So anyway, so that's the season I'm in this Christmas. So
it can make Christmas extra sweet because you realize, oh, they're not going to be under our roof that much longer and Christmas will be different and they'll be at the other family's Christmas right. and all that.
And so having to share them.
Right. It's like, okay, let's really enjoy.
Yeah.
For all the difficulties of teenage and college student Christmases, there's a sweetness.
Yes. And I'm just glad to, I just love anytime we're all together.
Yeah.
That makes me really happy. Okay. Well, let's talk about our Advent characters for the week. So we started with the prophets who weren't even at the Christmas story, but we explained why they're very important. And then we moved to the angels. And then last week you talked about the shepherds. And this week we're sort of short because Advent was a little shorter this year because Christmas Eve is on Sunday. So we're going to talk about the Magi and Jesus. So my million-dollar question to you, Bruce, is what's a Magi?
A Magi? So like an unusual animal? Yeah. The Magi is a word
for wise men.
It's a word for the wise men.
Yeah.
And so the wise men, best we know historically, were really intelligent people. They were wise men, probably astrologers who served with pagan kings in Persia. And they were advisors to the king and were students of philosophy and religion and that sort of thing. Probably were high up in kingdoms serving as advisors.
Okay. So they were the royal visitors.
That's right.
To Christ's birth. And yeah, they would look for omens in the skies, you know, in comets coming and going and, you know, think about how different the world was and how little they understood of the cosmos 2000 years ago. And so they would watch the skies for omens. And so what do you think the star was, Bruce? Do you have any opinion on that? I mean, I know it's just speculation. We don't.
Oh, sure. There's lots of debate about it. And there are astrological phenomena. You can go back in time and know what was going on in the sky in these years. And there are some that seem to really connect with around 4 BC in that time frame. On the other hand, the problem, though, is that the star follows them.
Right.
And shines right on where Jesus was. And so that's supernatural.
Yeah.
So I think it could have been a natural phenomena that was altered in a supernatural way, but I believe it wasn't only a natural phenomena, that there was at least a supernatural component to this light. And really, light is a huge theme in the scripture.
Yeah.
And God created light, and there's light with the tabernacle.
Jesus is called the light.
Yeah, so it's fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were researching this, Shelley, and writing the Engage God Daily, was there something that really stood out to you? Or I mean, you were familiar, obviously, with the story, right. But is there something that you kind of noticed afresh as you were doing it this time around?
I think what I noticed afresh was just that these were foreigners who lived somewhere else, who worked for a pagan king, and yet they were so overjoyed. Mm-hmm. To find the King of the Jews, whether it took them 2 years to find him or however long it took. There's some debate about that among scholars, but however long it took them to find him, there was just such great joy in that for them, and that they truly were the ones that were most worshipful of the religious community at the time.
Yeah, which is interesting. I think it's interesting that they go to Jerusalem and speak with Herod, right, who is technically the king of the Jews, even though they mm-hmm. were under Roman rule. They gave a certain amount of autonomy to the Jewish kings as long as they played nice and did what the Romans wanted. Herod wasn't in the line of David. He wasn't even fully Jewish, and the people really didn't like him. He was not a good man. He murdered a lot of people, including people, members of his own family. And he was really threatened by the appearance of these royal visitors, these wise men, saying, "We're here to worship the King of the Jews."
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the political intrigue aspect is kind of interesting. You know, we think of Christmas in such this sort of pastoral scene with the, you know, the manger, and it's like what your nativity set looks like. But this was really threatening. And the Jewish leaders, the Herod and the other religious leaders, didn't go to see Jesus. They didn't go to investigate. I mean, Herod sent people to murder babies, but they didn't seek him out to worship him. But it was the, like you said, Shelley, it was these foreign visitors who came, and they were the ones who were overcome and overjoyed.
It reminds me how that Christ really has come for everybody.
Yeah.
Of every kind and variety, every ethnicity, nationality, religious grouping. Because here these men are. They were not Jewish or Christian. There wasn't Christian then.
Mm-hmm.
How much they knew the Bible, we don't know. But yeah, Christ came for everybody. And yet they're the ones who are worshiping maybe most strongly.
Yeah. And that just follows with the theme that when the angels come to the shepherds and say, "We have great news of joy for all people. The king has come. The Jesus is born."
I'm so struck by that contrast between the wise men, the magi, and Herod.
Yeah.
Like you said, Herod's threatened by Jesus. His power is threatened. It says he was troubled, and the word there means he is upset. And then it says all of Jerusalem with him. I thought about how when somebody gets upset at Christmas, everybody in the house is tense when somebody's mad. But how today we can be threatened by Jesus.
Yeah.
He threatens our power. He threatens, we want to do what we want to do with our lives. You know, we don't want someone telling us what to do. And here comes this king who is going to tell everybody what to do.
Yeah.
And yet the joy comes with the wise men who bow before him. Mm-hmm. It just reminded me, true joy is not in power. Herod didn't have joy.
No.
And
no.
Yeah.
His life was miserable. It had to be.
But these wise men do. And they have joy giving their treasures to the Christ child.
Yeah, let's talk about the gifts. What are significant about the gifts? Which is interesting because as I noticed, Bruce, I don't remember if you pointed it out or someone pointed out years ago to me, I'd never noticed this before, there aren't actually three wise men. Like the Bible doesn't say there are three.
There's three gifts.
There's three gifts, but you know, there could have been 10 wise men.
That's right.
We don't know.
Yeah, don't know.
But tell us a little bit about the gifts. What's significant about the gifts that were brought?
And what were they again?
Frankincense, myrrh, and gold.
Oh,
you thought you'd stump me. I see
Bible
what you're doing. I got you. Got your number.
No, they're all expensive gifts.
Yeah.
They're all gifts for a king. They're royal. Myrrh, we're not so sure. Could have been tied with embalming, with Jesus' death, a symbol of that. But these are, and they brought them in treasure boxes, so it was probably large amounts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really symbolizing the significance of Jesus' birth, which here's Jesus being born in a manger to a Jewish young, probably teenage girl, and yet they're giving gifts that are out of proportion to who Jesus was, whether he was a little baby at that point or a couple years old, like Shelley said, we don't know, but the gifts are shocking given who Jesus is.
Okay, so then the other, of course, candle will be lighting on, if you're following Advent on Sunday, will be for Jesus. So I just love to hear as you both reflect on the incarnation and, you know, how are you taking time to worship Jesus? Is there anything that you're trying to do during this season? You know, we talked about spending time with our family, but like as you alluded to earlier, Shelley, what about spending time with the Lord and worshiping Jesus during this season? Is there anything special you're doing?
I am practicing. Maybe I'm just lived life hurrying and doing for so long, but something that helps me is slowing, just slowing down, like turning the radio off and turning the TV off or whatever is happening, and being intentional about slowing down so I have more time to kind of ponder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with someone the other day. I think I shared this with you, Lisa, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we were talking about being present with Jesus just for the sake of being with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing the struggle that I have, that I'm imperfectly trying to slow down and be present with Jesus. And her remark to me was, the rivers of living water that run through you always knows the way to the sea. And I loved that because I thought, even in spite of my imperfection, in spite of my frailties and my sin and my inability to do the things that I want to do to the level that I want to do them, that mm-hmm. I want to be a worshiper of Jesus all the time and that I do that imperfectly,
mm-hmm.
that God is so gentle. Jesus is so gentle with us, and he's so good and so kind in bringing us along with him. And if we just make the effort and the intention to engage with him,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have to be by doing a Bible study, although that's important,
mm-hmm.
but just to be present with him,
mm-hmm.
that is not ever wasted time.
Yeah. It's remarkable that, you know, the God of the universe really does delight in us,
mm-hmm.
and delights in our attention and us being present with him and listening and just enjoying our relationship we have with God. And I just don't think we take advantage of that nearly enough and recognize it nearly enough. So that's good. Just kind of slowing down and maybe taking the time over the next few days as we get on that freight train to Christmas, taking some time, just like you said, to slow down, turn off the distractions, turn off the music, put your phone away,
mm-hmm.
and just spend some time with Jesus.
I find this is a hard season to slow down because of what I do.
Yeah.
In my job. But I've, thinking what Shelley said about turning off sound, basically, I've started in my car, turning off the radio, the podcast, mm-hmm. the audiobook, whatever, and just having silence
mm-hmm.
for whatever the drive, where it's 10 minutes or 30 minute drive, whatever it is, and using that time to commune with the Lord
mm-hmm.
and say, let me just be with you, Lord, in these moments. And I'm finding it really refreshing that even though I was listening to Christian music or Christmas music.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Wherever the podcast or book is, it's good. But just to have silence
mm-hmm.
and to pray or just be with the Lord on the drive has been good for me this year.
Yeah, I find that I really need that. Like,
and I don't do that all the time, by the way. That's some of the drives I'm doing that.
You do talk to Camera if she's in the car with you. but no, I do find that I need that more and more. And I don't know if it's the age, season of life, things that have gone on in my life the last couple of years, but I just need to, I call it staring out the window time. I just need to sit somewhere and stare out the window and just let my mind go. You know,
and you know, for me, I actually take time after Christmas.
Yeah.
And so for me, there is some, it's quieter at the church between Christmas and just after New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And we close the church building. My key card does work, sadly. I could get in. But anyway, to take some of those days around after we've done Christmas with our kids in Waco and Austin, 26, 27,
mm-hmm.
around 28, 29, 30, right in there,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in that space or before anything, everything gets back going through January 1st. To take at least a day,
mm-hmm.
sometimes two, to really be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's been a habit for me that's at least worked in my life, the way my...
Your schedule works. Yes. Yeah. That's good. okay, well, I know we're all looking forward to Christmas. It's coming and it's going to be great. And whatever you don't get done on your to-do list, you know what? It's going to be fine. If special dessert doesn't get made or the one last minute gift doesn't get bought, it's okay. Everything's going to be just being with people and sharing the gift of Jesus and loving people and being present with them. That's what's most important, I think.
Our son, Bart, lives in Dallas with his grandson, Hudson. So they said they're coming to the Christmas Eve service, and we're excited about that. And so he said, I want to hear the Christmas story like it when I was a kid. And so we've worked out for Tamara's going to read the Christmas story in the Christmas Eve services.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And hadn't done that for years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what to look forward to Christmas Eve, because and let's give people the nitty gritty as well. It's a Sunday, Bruce. So what could people expect?
Well, there's going to be, we're going to do four services identical, the two normal morning services, then 4 and 6. And as
four
my-
4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
4 p.m. 6 p.m., not a.m. Yeah. If you want to come here, that you can. But my oldest son did say, he said, when I'm coming, Dad, because you're last Christmas Eve, I want to come. But I want it to be like when I grew up at Christ Fellowship. And
yeah.
So one of his memories is Jingle Bells. And back before we had car fobs, we had keys.
Yes, I remember those
days.
And
you'd pull out your keys and give them to your kids and shake the keys, and we'd sing Jingle Bells. And so we were thinking, well, could we do that? And we said, let's do it. So we've bought Jingle Bells. So all you parents of little kids, we're going to hand out Jingle Bells and do Jingle Bells, and then we're going to pick the Jingle Bells back up.
But so they don't get jingled the whole service?
Yes, but because we don't want kids to think now we've taken something away, Promise Land has created little wooden ornaments for each of the aspects of Advent, for yeah. shepherds and angels and prophets and so on. And we'll give, you'll exchange your Jingle Bells for an ornament that we have colors or crayons to color your ornament. So
yeah, so the kids will have fun. It'll be a really nice 4 family services, all kind of
and
the same.
We'll do silent night with candles.
With candles, so. That's right. And it is, Bruce, I know, I don't like to talk about this too much on the podcast because I don't want us to get all emotional. myself included, but this is your last Christmas as senior pastor. So this will be the last
Thanks
time
for reminding me. Like, no.
Well, I think you're aware.
I'm aware.
And so, yeah, so this will be a really special time for all of us.
It will. Yeah.
A little bittersweet, but more
it
sweet.
It is. It's mixed.
More
it's,
sweet than
it's
bitter.
More sweet than bitter, but it is. I do have those emotions of the specialness of it. And I just love Christ Fellowship and love our church and our family and love being the pastor, and I love Christmas Eves. And so there is a sweetness and a sadness all mixed together. And I just want to enjoy every moment of every service with every person.
Yeah, that's great. That's beautiful. And, you know, I will say we talked about Christmas traditions, and one of the things my kids really do, like, that's what we do. We've always done. We've always come for their whole lives to Christmas at Christ Fellowship. And I remember the days with the keys and the jingle bells and, you know, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to Christmas Eve as well. All right. Well, Bruce, let's give people a sneak peek about what's coming right after Christmas.
Pretty exciting. It's 21 days, and this will be our 6th year, I believe, to do 21 days of prayer and fasting to start the year.
Yeah.
And each year I pray through, what's our theme? What should we focus on? We focus on revival at the very beginning. And now, my feeling this year, where I feel like God's led me, is to focus on Jesus and the fact that he is the I am. And in the Gospel of John, John writes 7 statements that Jesus is the I am. He is the bread of life, and he is the vine, and he is the resurrection, and the shepherd. And we're going to explore those and take 21 days to really delve into who Jesus is as the I am, as a way for us to start the year.
Yeah. So I really recommend coming. You know, I know sometimes people, you know, the holidays come and you sort of maybe miss church, but don't miss. Be right back with us right after Christmas, because we're going to start 21 days and it's going to be good. So, and we're going to do a whole podcast on it. So, talking a little more.
And I'm excited that the team has created a guide unlike anything we've ever done before. And it's an at-home guide for 21 days. That Lisa's been a big part of creating, orchestrating, but a whole team of people have worked on it. And it's how to do it with your kids at whatever age your kids are, from littles to older and as adults. And it's a richer study, really, of these, the Gospel mm-hmm. of John and these statements.
Which Bruce wrote.
I did. Some pastor wrote that part. But yeah, that I think will really be rich for you to engage in. And it starts January 1.
Yeah.
So right when you turn the new year, because we want to help everyone get started the week before to prepare for the beginning of 21 days. So I don't know what I'm going to fast from, but I'm praying and thinking about what am I going to fast from this year? And I think this is going to be a really special way to begin the year and worth your time to say, let me invest 21 days to start off 2024 well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Shelley, for coming. And
thank you for having me.
And thank you for writing the Engage God Daily for this week. It's really good. And I love your story about getting trapped in the snowstorm. So
I did too.
I recommend everyone read this week's Engage God Daily because Shelley's a great writer and she tells some great stories in there, as well as drawing our attention to the Magi and to Jesus. So, Bruce, will you pray for us? Our last prayer for 2023.
God, thank you. We're just so grateful as we look back on the year and how you've watched over us, taking care of us. You are always present. You're always with us. You keep every promise. And Lord, thank you that you came at Christmas to save us. We worship you and celebrate you this year. We pray that each person would have a Christmas full of joy, full of peace, as we peek ahead and look into the next year too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will be back, not next week, because we will, the podcast will take, yes, we'll be back next year. We'll take the week off for the holidays, but we will be back with a podcast that'll come out on the first week of the year. So we'll see you then.
Thank you, Lisa.